Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, that you loved us so much that you inspired these 40-some writers to write the Word of God. You have preserved it for us all these years. And Lord, this morning we get to study your Word. And I pray that you'd help us to remember as we study your Word today, this is God speaking to us. And help us, Lord, to respond in faith to the teaching of the Word of God. We do pray for Lori's uncle with lymphoma now and very serious situation. We pray you'd give the doctors wisdom as they treat him. For Aaron, as he is in Kuwait or Iraq there, we pray you'd have your protective hand upon him. Continue to pray for Joyce and Robin. Thank you. Joyce is doing well and after the treatment this week, and just continue to minister to these ladies as Robin, I think, is starting radiation now. And then, Lord, we're asking you in the next half hour as we look at your Word just to open our hearts to the Word of God. Speak to us. Help me to say what ought to be said, that it would be a help to all of us, we pray now. In Jesus' name, amen. By now, you should have found 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If not, ask your neighbor and they'll help you. All right. Again, I'm going to go ahead and start teaching. I know we may have some come trickling in right on cue, but that's all right. These guys were on our buses, and that's great. We appreciate their ministry. There is a battle going on today. Right now. Now, we've just heard about Aaron being in Iraq or Kuwait. I'm not talking about a physical battle. I'm talking about a spiritual battle that began thousands of years ago. And it's interesting, as I thought about this morning, when Lucifer, the angel of light, rebelled against God, who is the source of all light. And he said, I will, and I will, and I will. And God said, you won't, you won't, you won't. And he became Satan, the prince of darkness, went from light to darkness. And that battle is going on today, and it will continue until that final day of the Lord, which we've been studying, when God will finally redeem his people and will pour out his wrath upon all sinners. And hallelujah, Satan will be bound in hell for all, or the bottomless pit for all eternity. But that battle is going on today. We've seen it this week in D.C., haven't we? With the Supreme Court, where they're making a decision whether a marriage should be between a man and a woman, or between men and also between women. Folks, that is a battle between dark and light. It's going on today. We've seen it in what's going on in Baltimore today, or this past week. It is all around us. But you know, that may not affect you a whole lot, but I tell you what, you are going through a battle too. Did you realize that this week there is a battle to persuade you to walk in the light or in the darkness? That's going on right now. It's been going on all week. God wants you to be a day person and to walk in the day, and the devil wants you to be a night person to partake of the night life. And that battle has been going on all week long. In fact, when did that battle start for you? Well, I guess probably when you first knew right from wrong, that battle began, and it will continue, if you're a believer, until God takes you to heaven. There's a battle. And I tell you what, folks, I think we don't realize what's going on. I mean, all this week, now I'm a believer, I'm on my way to heaven. I'm sure you're glad to know that. I'm excited about it, but the battle's still going on. The battle for my soul is over. But the battle for my life and my testimony and my time is still continuing today. And the devil wants me to be a night person, to act like a night person, although I am a day person. Now, some of you are looking at me like, what is he talking about? Well, that's what we were talking about last week. And I'll quickly review, and you'll see that this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This passage talks about the day of the Lord. Now, let me stop. What is the day of the Lord? If you don't know by now, I have failed miserably. The judgment of sinners. All right. When God finally redeems the saints, judges the sinners. By the way, there have been many days of the Lord. And as the prophet, even Amos, as he talked about the day of the Lord, there was a short-term day of the Lord, but the day of the Lord will occur at the end when God comes and sets up his kingdom and destroys all wickedness And that day is coming. And in verse 1 of this chapter, it says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." And they were very concerned about this coming day of the Lord. And Paul said to them, "You know all you need to know." And that we saw in the coming of the day of the Lord. The second thing we saw was the character of the day of the Lord, verse 2 and 3. "For yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord so cometh how? It's a thief in the night, suddenly, unexpectedly, unannounced." And it also says in verse 3, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child." Again, it's going to happen. It is certain. We just don't know when. So we saw the character. And then thirdly, we started last week, verse 4 through 11, our conduct with regards to the day of the Lord. Okay, God is going to come back and he's going to redeem his own for all eternity. He's going to destroy, pour out his wrath upon sin. So what? What does that mean to me today, May 3rd, 2015? What does it mean to me today? And so Paul goes into this passage and he said, "I want to exhort you about some things." And there are three. We've covered two. Number one, he said, "I want you to remember who you are." Now remember, if you're a child of God, you are a day person. Let me give you a verse we've used several weeks, Colossians 1:13, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Hey, the moment you got saved, the moment you saw you were a sinner and needed Christ, and you turned by faith and trusted in Christ, you left the night and you became a day person. By the way, what does God want you to do? He wants you to walk in the light. And we can have fellowship one with another. He wants us to live in the light. But I tell you what, just because you're a day person, it doesn't mean you always live like one. Now don't say, if you're sitting by your spouse, "Amen, you should have seen them this week." I tell you what. All right. The devil's still battling. And he wants us to walk in the night. And act like night people. And so he comes to verse 6 through 8 and he says, "I want to talk about your general conduct here. Now that you're day people," he says, 6 through 8, again, this is all review, "therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night." He said, look, night people, they are asleep spiritually. They have no concern about spiritual things. They don't care. And they are immoral, living immoral lives, and they're living like drunkards with no awareness of what's going on. And he says, believers, don't live like that. Live like a day person. Let me ask you, those that were here last week, which is the majority of you, how'd you do this week? Did you live like a day person or a night person? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know what I mean. You know what I mean. Okay, is that clear to you? Okay. Again, I know we've got some folks that are here for the first time just visiting. But just because you're a day person doesn't mean you're going to walk in the light all the time. Now, that's what the Lord wants us to do. And so, he says, "In your conduct, I want you to walk in the light. I want you to be a day person." Now, we're starting some new stuff, all right? Verse 9. For God has not appointed us, I skipped verse 8, which would be good since that's the next point. "But let us who are of the day be sober." Now notice, he's given us the general approach, walk in the day. Okay, you're day people, walk in the day. Be sober, be awake. Now he's going to give us something very specific here that'll help us. "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation." Now, we're living in a day when battle has changed dramatically since that time. But obviously in that time, they wore armor to protect their vital organs. And the breastplate went exactly where you think it would go and would protect the heart and the lungs and all the vital organs of the body except the head. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. And he's saying, look, you need to have victory over the night. And the only way you can have victory over the night and the darkness is to put on this breastplate. And it's interesting because it's not the normal thing we're used to. When you read breastplate or think of the word breastplate, what word usually comes with it? The breastplate of righteousness from Ephesians chapter 6. Here it's called the breastplate of faith and love. Now remember, he's trying to help us to live like day people. Here's my question. He's saying, look, my cupboard, if you want to live like a day person, you have got to put on this breastplate of faith and love. How do faith and love help me to live like a day person and not walk in the night? Okay. A faith person says, God says, marriage is honorable in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And the person who's living by faith says, you know what? That's true. And I'm going to be faithful to my mate. By the way, what is the world trying to do? In Romans chapter 12, he says, and be not conformed to this world. Let me ask a question. If you watch the average television show, are they going to give you the message I just did about marriage? No, what they're going to tell you is the best physical relationship, the most exciting one, is the forbidden one. And so if we're going to have the breastplate of faith, we're going to say, you know what? That's not what God says. God says, do this, and by faith, I'm going to believe it. When you are faced with a situation where if you tell the truth, you're in big trouble, the breastplate of faith says, you know what? God's word says, thou shalt not lie. And because of that, by faith, I'm going to do what the Word of God says. The breastplate of faith must be put on, folks, if it's going to help us to live like day people. Now, I already mentioned the armor, but it's interesting. There is a piece of armor that is attached to the word faith. What is it? I think I heard it over here. The shield. The shield in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. It's interesting to me, the word of God, the shield of faith, as the devil is shooting those arrows of temptation, we use the shield of faith to defeat it. Right? It's the same idea. Same idea. If you walk by faith this week, you lived like a day person. If you walk by sight, what looks good, what tastes good, what you think is good, you live like a night person. But he says not only faith, but love. Let me give you a statement that really struck me. All sin, you ready? You awake? I know you're all full. You know, I just had 4 Krispy Kreme donuts. All faith reflects a failure to love God. Did you get that? Every time we sinned this last week, what were we saying? I love myself more than I love God. Is that fair? Humor me. Say, yes. Sure. When I sin, when I disobey God, I'm saying, I love myself more than I love God. That's why in Matthew 22:37, he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Now listen, if we have perfect trust and perfect love, it will always result in obedience. There's a battle going on for your life right now. And we've got a choice to make. One of them is I'm going to turn my cell phone off before somebody calls me. Or I'm sitting singing a solo this morning and my phone rings. That'd be exciting. We have choices to make every day. And you're going to make them by faith or by feeling. Or you're going to make them by lust or love. Every decision you make. And Paul is saying, look, if you're going to live like day people, you're going to have the breastplate of faith and love. You say, wait a minute. That protects from here on down. What about the head? Well, we're not done yet. Look back in the passage. And for an helmet, the hope of salvation. You say, well, you know what? That's what I've always felt like. I just hope I'm saved. I meet people like that all the time. You do too, don't you? If you die today, you're sure you're going to heaven? What do most people say? Well, I sure hope so. Isn't that sad? The most important thing in their life, and they hope so. They hope so. Here is the hope, the certainty of salvation. Now, there are three tenses of salvation. Help me here a little bit. What are the three tenses of salvation? Past, present, future. What happened in the past? What's that? You've been saved in what way? What were you saved from? The penalty of sin. There we go. There's the first one. What's one? That's a great truth. Penalty of sin. Okay? Christ paid for your sin on the cross. What is the present tense of salvation? You're being saved from what? The power of sin. Oh, you guys are on a roll now. And what's the third one? In the future, we're going to be saved from the presence of sin. Now, that'll preach. If you want to preach that, that's fine. It's not original with me, that's for sure. There's going to come a day, folks, when we're going to be completely redeemed. No more sin. Now, think about this. No more Satan. No more sickness. No more darkness. We're going to be taken to heaven where Jesus is the eternal light. There is no darkness in heaven. 1 John 3, 2 and 3 says, beloved, this is a great verse. Now, if you're saved, here it is, now are we the sons of God. Now, we could stop and take a couple laps there. We don't have time, but that ought to rejoice your heart. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And he's saying, look, folks, this needs to be the thing that protects your mind. Remember, the battle is definitely for the mind, isn't it? If the devil gets your mind, what you think is going to eventually be what you do. The battle's for the mind. And he's saying, look, folks, if you're going to walk like a day person, if you're going to act like a day person, which you are if you're born again, you need to take faith and love and the assurance of salvation and let it change your life. Now, there's one more, and this kind of ties into what we're just saying. He said, look, I'm exhorting you based on what has happened in the past, your character, your day people, okay? And he says that who you are should lead to what you do, your conduct. You should act a certain way, and that's present. And then he's going to talk some more about the future. Okay, look at verse 9 and 10. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Now again, what were these people concerned about? Back in verse 1. Hello? Mr. Hayes, I think I heard you or saw you. It's a good thing I can read lips. I think you said the day of the Lord, didn't you? Very good. And what's the day of the Lord about? God's wrath. They were concerned about God's wrath. He said, hey, I want to remind you folks, you are not destined for God's wrath. Now again, we know that the day of God's wrath is a time of darkness and not light. It's a terrible time. But notice back in verse 3, who is the day of the Lord for? Back in verse 3, for when, what's the pronoun? They shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with a child, and they, boy, those donuts are sitting heavy, aren't they? And they shall not escape. We're never going to feed you guys, get it for breakfast. It's like we're all asleep, slumbering. Look. The great truth is, in Romans 5, 9 says again, we shall be saved from the wrath of God. How is that true? Why is that true? He tells us right here in the verse. Because Jesus Christ died for us. Because he died for us. And what did he do? Romans 5, 8, but God commendeth his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. What's the last two words? For us. Now, if you don't believe for us, you can't be saved. He died for us, died for us. And what happened at Calvary? Think about this. I want you to think about your life and your sin. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, folks, every one of my sins, were placed on him. He was bruised for our iniquity. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And it's very interesting to me, on the cross, what did God do? He poured out his wrath for all sin. Now think about this, folks. We often hear a lot about Christ's physical suffering, and it was great, but it was nothing compared to the spiritual suffering. The perfect Son of God, who knew no sin, had every one of my sins placed on him, and every one of Pam Pruitt's sins placed on him, and every one of David Pruitt's sins placed on him, and every one of Joe's sins, and every one of Joanne's, and you go down in KP and Patience, and I'll be good, all right? Now think about that. Think about that, folks. And the wrath of God was poured out for sin at Calvary. And let me ask you a question. What happened for 3 hours? It was dark. Why? Because when God pours out his wrath, folks, it is darkness, just like the day of the Lord. And Jesus Christ took all of our sin, and he took our darkness so that we can have eternal light. What a great truth. What a great truth. We will never suffer God's wrath for sin. What a great truth. By the way, just as a footnote, this is why we are pre-trib. We believe in a pre-trib rapture, that Christ is going to come back before the tribulation, because the end of the tribulation is often called the day of the Lord, the last 3.5 years, as God pours out his wrath for sin. The great news is, if you're a believer, you won't be here. You're not going to go through it. Okay? We are not destined for wrath. Why? Because Jesus Christ took our wrath. And we all ought to fall down on our knees and say, praise God. When was the last time we just got down and said, Lord, thank you for paying for my sin? We don't have to walk in darkness. We've been saved and we're called to walk in the light. Now, I'm going to finish. I'm going to make it. This is exciting. We've got one more verse. We can do this. All right? In view of the day of the Lord, Paul is exhorting them to walk like day people. Remember, he said, you are day people. You don't walk in the light, in the darkness. Walk in the light. He told us how we could do it. Now he's going to change our focus from ourselves to others. Okay, verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Now, what's he saying? Remember, we're talking about the day of the Lord, the coming day of the Lord. He said, I'm going to exhort you personally to live a certain way. Here's something now we should do for each other. He said two things. You need to comfort yourselves together, okay, comfort yourselves. By the way, we've seen this word already in this book. Where did we see it? Chapter 4 and verse, last verse, which is 18. Look back there. Wherefore, I'm having you do that, not because you need to, but it'll help stay awake and, you know, help the food digest. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Isn't it interesting? He preaches on the rapture, and he says, comfort one another. He preaches on the day of the Lord. He says, comfort one another. Encourage each other. Encourage each other. Now, by the way, that's the same word, parakaleo. You know that word. That's the word for the Holy Spirit, the one who comes alongside to encourage each other. Now, is that John again? Is that Potter? Let me take 30 seconds to tell you this one. We were at a funeral, and John had his Bible open on his phone. I think Preacher Lastly was preaching, I think. And That exact same thing happened right in the middle of the funeral. It was the passage the preacher was reading. All of a sudden, you hear it coming out, and it's just, I don't know what in the world. So I encourage you, if you use your iPhone or whatever for your Bible, that's fine. Just turn off the volume. Because otherwise, and poor John couldn't get it turned off. Oh, it was, you're not supposed to laugh at funerals, but it was funny. At any rate, sorry about that. Now, before I was so rudely interrupted, all right. Look. That's right. You know, as believers, we look around this world and the junk that's going on. And if you're honest, there are times it gets discouraging, doesn't it? I mean, you look at the Supreme Court. I mean, hallelujah, all they have to do is read the Bible. And they would know what they ought to do. And you look at the stuff that's been going on in Baltimore. And you look at your own life. And by the way, if you want to get depressed, just sit down for an hour and think about yourself and how bad you are. I'm serious. It'll do it to you. And the simple matter of fact is, it's not going to get better. Now, I'm not talking about you personally, but talking about this world, it's going to get darker and darker, isn't it? And I don't usually hear it from you folks, but often I hear it from folks in the office sometimes, folks who are more elderly than you are. Oh, here's Obamacare. What are we going to do? Oh, well, here, what's going on in the Supreme Court? What are we going to do? Oh, all this stuff's going on. What are we going to do? And that's why he says, look, you need to encourage one another in the Lord that God is going to judge these folks. God's judgment is coming. There's going to come a day, folks, when God turns this thing right side up, and he's going to fix it. Okay? Sin will be dealt with. God's going to take care of all that. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Sure, we're troubled by all the junk going on around us. But, folks, he said the day of the Lord is a comfort to you because you know their day is coming. Now, hallelujah, we want to reach as many as we can. But those who reject God and are rebellious against God, their day is coming. And he said, look, you just need to encourage each other, comfort each other about these things. And then notice the second thing. And boy, this week could camp here all day. You're lucky I've only got 5 minutes. What's the other word? Edify. Now, let's be honest. What do we often do? Tear down. Tear down. Now, I'll be honest, if I am doing remodeling, the destruction, or if I'm working on my car, taking it apart, piece of cake, that's easy stuff. Now, putting it back together, you win some and you lose some. Typically, I try not to work on things unless they're broken. I mean, you know, if they're already broken, it's not going to work anyway. Hey, what have I got to lose, you know? But isn't the same true in life? Which is easier? Tear people down? Discourage people? You know, with Eeyore, well, it's really bad, Mike. I don't guess anybody cares, but I just, oh, it's just terrible. He said you need to edify. Build each other up in the Lord. Encourage people in the Lord. Let me ask you a question. You spent time this week with a lot of people. Did you build them up or did you tear them down? Now, I'm really honest with you. I'll tell you what comes naturally to me. Tear them down. Why do we do that, by the way? Why do we tear other people down? It's so we can look a whole lot better, isn't it? Huh? Come on, you're looking so pious this morning. Okay. What does God say? Look, folks, things are going to get worse and worse. And as it gets worse, what do we need to do? We need to encourage each other. Hey, God is still on the throne. You say, well, it doesn't look like it. Well, that's why you got to go by faith. It's going to be all right. We need to build each other up. Now notice Hebrews 10:25. I'll read it for you. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But, what's the next word? I guess I should have warned this was coming. But exhorting one another. You know what that word exhorting is? Same word as our text. Parakaleo. Come alongside and encourage one another. Why? Why? And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Folks, as things get worse and worse, first of all, we have a personal responsibility. As the darkness grows greater and the pressure of the darkness grows greater, we need to put on the breastplate of love and of faith and the helmet of salvation so that we can have live like day people, okay? And then secondly, we need to be busy encouraging and exhorting others in the things of the Lord and edifying people and helping them. When you spent time, I think I started this and I didn't end it. When you spend time with people this week, let me encourage you. KP, you working out there at the Sycamore Shoals Hospital, let me encourage you. Make people better. By the way, what kind of boss do people like? One that tears them down all the time or somebody that builds them up? Now, with some people, you have to look long and hard at how to build them up, you know? You know, that's the best job you've done in 27 years, you know? First time I've seen you work, to be honest with you, you know? But let me encourage you, edify, build people up. And hallelujah, if you get on, I haven't been on Facebook for at least a week. And this came up this last week, and so I just thought, well, you know, it's time again. Wouldn't it be great if Facebook was used to edify people and to build them up in the Lord instead of to tell all these things, well, now it's a prayer request, so it's okay, you know. Look, live like a day person this week, okay? Walk in the light. Walk in the light. By the way, if you're in the light, what's going to happen? You're going to glorify your Father which is in heaven, and people will be drawn to him if you walk in the light. Let me ask you a question. If I go to your job place and I'm going through there and I'm just, oh, it's so hard. It's Monday. We got to go back to work again. It's beautiful outside. I'm stuck here in this stupid job. And then you're going to try to witness these people. Good luck with that. Okay? Good luck with that. Christians ought to be the happiest people in the world. You ought to have a song in your heart. You may not be able to sing. Whistle, okay? Be happy in the Lord. Encourage other people. Encourage other believers. Instead of saying, well, did you hear what they did? And say, well, I just can't believe. Oh, Joe, did you hear about Joe Horn? I just can't believe it. Joe, that's terrible. Wicked. Say, hey, Joe, man, I'm praying for you, buddy. Somebody's going through a hard time. Pray for them. Encourage them. Edify them. Build them up. Now, there are times as we study and teach the Word of God that the Word of God is negative, right? And it needs to be. What if you went to your doctor and he's always positive? Well, I'm positive you're going to die tomorrow, you know? That's not what you want to hear, you know? There are times that you have to teach against sin and preach against sin undoubtedly, or you're not helped. I was speaking to someone recently and they said they invited someone to church and the lady said, well, you're a church. Does your church make people feel better about themselves? This self-image is a bunch of junk, by the way. It's not in the Bible. The only reason you should feel good about yourself is because of what Jesus did for you. Okay? Boy, I'm getting off on rabbit trails. Some of you must need this. I don't know. We're off on 27 rabbit trails today. Let me encourage you, folks, as we think of the day of the Lord approach. This week, today, walk in the light. Be a day person. Walk. You, if you're saved, you are a day person. Act like it. Put on that breastplate of faith and of love and the helmet of salvation and do right. Walk like a day person. Don't let the night creep into your life. And then secondly, encourage believers. Edify believers. Build them up in the Lord. Be a help to people. Don't be a hindrance. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word today. God, I pray you'd help us this week to walk in the light. Oh God, the darkness is strong. The darkness is creeping in everywhere. Lord, you are the light of the world. And we're indwelt by the Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of light. And I pray that you'd help us as believers this week to walk in the light. And then, Lord, help us as we talk to other believers to be an encouragement and to edify and to build them up in the faith in the things of the Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.